So I work at Springboard for the Arts. Springboard is our mission is to help artists make a living and make a life. So I'll talk a little more about the stuff that we can offer in terms of support for responding to this RFQ as the night goes on. But just know that we have a resource center. We do a lot of professional development workshops for artists. So if you're looking to try to figure out many of the sort of business skills that go along with being an artist, that's something that we help artists with all the time. Feel free to talk to me about that, or take a look on our website. There's a lot of information about it there. And also, that reminds me of another opportunity that's coming up for art in the Rondo community that's for Rondo artists. That's also, if you've been to the Springboard website and seen the page about this particular opportunity, there's something lower down on the page that's, we're also helping the Rondo Library figure out some public art for the exterior of their building. So that's a much longer timeline, but there are some things coming up in June around that where we're doing some workshops to connect artists to different techniques, one of which is something that Jacumba has done, the sort of enameling stuff. So the Chicago Avenue Fire Arts Center is going to be at that two of those sessions to talk about how to use their facilities to do that kind of work, as are Candida Gonzalez from Good Space Murals. So they do a technique called PolyTab, which is sort of a different way to put a mural on a building that kind of makes it more accessible for a lot of folks. So anyways, take a look. There's a lot of events coming up with that, but the deadline for that RFQ is not going to be until the fall. So there's a big lead time to sort of think about that, start working on that, and come to these sort of info sessions that we're having starting in June. So lots of information about that, but I just want you guys to know about that as well. We're going to take another little 10 minutes here and just kind of have some background on the bridge. So Aaron is going to do that. I don't know, Seitu is going to join in, maybe Dale as well. It's sort of they're just going to give some background on how the bridge came to be, sort of the design of it. So you just have some of the physical parameters around kind of what this bridge is going to look like. So I think the best thing is going to be if we come up, there's a really cool drawing of what the bridge is going to look like up here in this table. I think the easiest thing is if we just kind of gather around that, and Aaron can take this microphone and sort of talk about what is going to happen.
New pavement. We're not really doing a lot of curb work. The pink is sidewalk. This orange is the actual bridge structure. The green is grass. The red is curb. So what happened, how this project came to be, is the district council in the area knew there was a big need for improved pedestrian facilities along Dale Street. So they did a walkability study. And from that study, they identified a whole bunch of improvements that could be made along Dale Street. The biggest one was that bridge. So that bridge now today, the sidewalk on the bridge is like 5 feet, if that. Very uncomfortable to walk on if you have to cross the bridge or right next to traffic over a freeway. So Ramsey County applied for federal funds to replace the bridge. We received $6 million, in federal funds for the bridge to be replaced. As part of that, we are adding full-length left turn lanes on the bridge. There's two through lanes in each direction, a left turn lane on the St. Anthony and a left turn lane on the Concordia. One of the, I think, the most unique kind of special features and about this bridge is that we have determined the sidewalks now on the bridge will be 16 feet wide, which I've never been a part of a project where we have built sidewalk that wide on a bridge. So the thought behind that was that this could be a space that could be used to showcase art, to tell a story, the history of Rondo, things like that. We don't have anything in particular that can or cannot be done. I do want to say there's about an 18-inch barrier that's going to separate the sidewalk from the road, and then it'll be 16 feet wide, and then you'll have the barrier on the bridge, and then the railing on top of that. So one of the other kind of unique features about this project is when you go north on Dale Street, there's this big hill that you're going down, and because this was really a pedestrian, it originated because of pedestrian issues and concerns. Going down this hill or up it is difficult for a lot of people. So we, Ramsey County, purchased this property of the vacant Valvoline. It's been demolished. The billboard's staying. The billboard's not going. That will stay there. It's about $1 million+ to buy that. So we decided we couldn't afford that. So to create a better walking environment, this sidewalk will have a switchback in it. So we had about 5% ADA. It's gonna be fairly steep. There's not gonna be a lot of flat area in this area right here. It's gonna be graded about a 4:1, 2:1, or 3:1. So it's gonna be pretty steep, but there was the idea that this could potentially be used to showcase type of art or story or something in that space as well. You know, we've identified a few. So this project is on schedule to be constructed in 2019. Construction will start early 2019, meaning the bridge will be demolished. And construction of it will start in the winter, early winter of 2019, throughout the summer and into the fall. So basically the entire year of 2019. So when we build this bridge, we want to make sure what we can incorporate into the bridge itself, as far as the art, the concrete, the railings, the stuff we're building with this bridge, regardless of the art, we can incorporate when we build this bridge. Maybe there's some other freestanding structures, and I'm sure Satu will talk about this much better than I am, but that we can have this bridge ready for art that maybe is applied in the future as well. So that's kind of the thought behind the art process with this construction project. Any questions I can answer right now?
A couple. So you're widening it.
Correct.
And so this is great. So they're not Lucky or Tiger Jack, his stuff is staying there?
The roadway is actually being shifted to the east.
Oh, okay.
So he's actually gaining quite a bit of green space in front of his property. We acquired this parcel already. We need some right away from the parcel to the north there. We need some from the school. And then maybe, I think there's a couple of spots. We just need some small corners to do our pedestrian ramps. So these are the three properties that have the significant right-of-way impacts.
Is that the only place that you can create those standing sculptures that will spot that you pointed out to you?
I don't think it's the only space. I think that's what we're here to determine. I don't want to dictate right now what can and cannot be done.
There's going to be several opportunities come up, and it's really going to be for this artistic team to determine where the pieces will, or not even pieces, but where art will be integrated.
Okay. This is a non-art question. Where is the detour for the pedestrians who should use that bridge?
There's a pedestrian bridge to the east. That would be the detour.
And to the west.
Yeah. Into the west, yeah. Grotto and McCubbin. I guess by pointing to this, this red area is a median. I think it's about 18 feet wide. So we're showing it in red. There's the opportunity for that to be landscaped as well, but working with the City of St. Paul on that. I think that's open, all open for discussion, yeah.
Absolutely, I mean, there's an artistic opportunity in that entire space. And that, once again, is gonna be something that this artistic design team will look at.
And then just one thing, as a person that's lived here their whole life, I know you're doing a bridge, but this is always the dangerous portion when you're exiting there, is because people, and I don't know if you have any say in this, but people always turn this middle lane into the opposite turn lane, and that's what makes it scary for people to walk across the bridge.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you...
Well, we hope people obey the laws. I mean, it's hard to...
No, I'm just saying if you...
But
yes,
we know this is a problem here turning right. The bridge has a creates a barrier so you cannot see.
Right.
So that would be improved with this project.
Yeah, visibility will be improved there at that corner. How many of y'all have turned that? I mean, know that turn. So we all know, I mean, how you take your life in line and make that right turn there. I mean, in addition, how many folks have walked this bridge or attempted to walk
or try
this bridge?
Not to walk.
I mean, and that was, and I can't emphasize enough, that was the thing that really drove this design. The last head of Public Works walked this site, and he hadn't before. And that really prompted, I mean, once he got out here, Ramsey County Public Works Director got out here and saw how dangerous and crazy that was, that really sped up the process on replacing this grid.
I hear it's still up there.
It is right now, unfortunately,
yeah. Is there gonna be a bike lane or is this gonna be split?
There is no bike lane on Dale Street because we're not widening up here. There's no opportunity unless we take out a lane of traffic. And it's not identified on the county or the city's bike plan, but we will have a 4-foot shoulder on the bridge in addition to the 16-foot wide sidewalk.
You know, one thing too to emphasize is that we wouldn't be here right now had it not been for this community organizing itself and really beginning to demand a bridge and aesthetic that really reflected the values of this community. And so we're here because this neighborhood has demanded that. And so we've got a lot of pressure on us. We've got this community here that's really depending on this design team to come up with something that really speaks to the values, and I'll talk a little bit about that, the values of Rondo, but also something that's workable and functional and very pleasing, visually pleasing and stimulating.
So, which path, you were talking about how that was going to be very steep, and I was going to the stairs, so I could see people just being in a hurry and not wanting to do that, and that they're running down the steep path before, you know.
Yeah, we discussed stairs. The problem with steps is that they have to be maintained in the winter, and even then, they create a hazard. So steps will not be part of this. We talked about, you know, this. There's an opportunity to make it undesirable or nearly impossible to come up here. It's going to be really steep. You have to be very able-bodied and determined to climb up a steep slope to avoid this little short walk. Most folks, I don't think, are going to choose to do that.
So how about if we segue into, say, to you talking a little bit more about it. So he's going to get his phone plugged in here. Quick housekeeping, I forgot to mention this before. There's men's restrooms are at the back of this room, and the women's restrooms are up in that corner over there. And just to sort of, I keep remembering things that I forgot to tell you guys at the beginning. Also, just to sort of, Satu's going to talk for a little bit about some more background around this actual artistic addition to the bridge and show some images, and then I will go over the application process with everyone just so you have a sense of how to apply, and then we'll have a time at the end for questions. So.
Seeing Melvin here in the room, I mean, he really downplayed the piece that exists not too far away from here that's actually about 40 feet high. So anyway, it's so good to be here in front of all you all. And one of the things I want to do today is really just to talk a little bit about, once again, what brought us here. And then the direction that, the many possibilities that we'll be able to go into. And showing you some examples of things that other artists have created. In particular, artists of color have created here, both in the Twin Cities and around the country. But the thing that really brought us here, the thing that really brought me here was, I can't keep coming back and forth in front of the thing, was the Rondo neighborhood. I'm really fortunate and blessed to be, we'll come over here. I'm really fortunate and blessed to have been able to carve a life from making art, primarily large-scale public art works. And I'm at a point now, and I've really been trying to do this for a long period of time, of really helping to build the capacity of other artists, in particular artists of color. When applications come out, many times there's a whole set of criteria that can be daunting for anybody. And sometimes more and more, in fact, I just saw an application that came out for RFQ, want to know qualifications, but asking, one of the top criteria was that you have had to have at least one or two public sector commissions that were at least 150 grand. Now, you know, there are just a handful of artists that are in that category, let alone artists of color. And so what I have been trying to do, and actually my longtime collaborator, Takumba Aiken, has been trying to do, is to build the capacity of artists. So we're taking on artists as collaborators that haven't had that opportunity before, so that they can then apply for those commissions and be eligible to apply for those commissions. And so that's really why we're here. We're here going to be working as a team. In addition, you know, I'm getting also to the point where I want to back off a little bit. I want to be more like my brother Melvin here and step back a little. I want to spend more time fishing. So I am at a point where I'm ready to hand over more and more of these kind of gigs and opportunities to folks. And from the very beginning, when this community demanded that artwork be a part of this bridge, we knew that we wanted to have emerging artists, artists who haven't had this opportunity to be a part of this process. And that really fits into the values of Rondo. You know, Rondo Avenue, Inc., this organization that really set up to look back and look ahead at this neighborhood came up with a set of values, 8 different values that really apply to the values of old Rondo and looking forward to contemporary Rondo and the Rondo of the future. Now, this just happens to correspond to 8 different crossings in old Rondo, crossings of 94. So there's a bridge or a pedestrian bridge from Lexington all the way to Marion Street that we can apply one of these values to. And the value that Rondo Avenue Inc. and this community came up with for Dale Street crossing is hope. Hope for the Dale Street Bridge and hope for this community. Now, there are 3 different areas that we'll concern ourselves with, at least on this iteration. You heard Aaron talk about the possibility of adding on in the future, and we'll be able to do that. I mean, so each one of these bridges will provide this opportunity. So, and at some point in time, many of these other bridges are going to be changed. We've all heard about Reconnect Rondo, at least I hope you all have, for Victoria, the plans for Victoria. At some point, Lexington will be replaced. And on and on. And so what we're attempting to do here is to create a template, to create a process, and also a set of designs and design standards that can then be applied to every single one of these things. So the next time one of these opportunities comes up, one of these bridges comes down, we'll be ready. We'll have artists, while I'm out fishing, there will be artists that will be, artists who are in this room and beyond this room that will be able to apply for this opportunity. So those 3 areas that we're going to look at are lighting as a possibility, these lighting opportunities, railings, and sidewalks. Now, you know, just saying those words and presenting that like that, I mean, that can be really dry, but I want to show you what some artists have been able to do with pavement. Oh, what happened? You messed up something there. Let's see. Going so good. Now, and it's hard. There we go. Okay. I don't know what I did there. Nope. It doesn't like that slide. Let me try this one more time. What did you do, Peter, when you walked over? You just walked by? Okay, we're going to try this again. I don't know if I should hit this slide or not. Ready? Let's try it. Hey, okay. What can I say? I'm actually see if I can skip that slide. Yeah, okay, let's see if we can skip that slide and go to the next one. Yeah, we can. And so we can break this down as a PDF too, put it online so you all can check it out. If this were like in the old days, the 35mm projector, we could just pass around the slides. but right now, we'll have to go completely digitally. I can't advance this anymore. What I wanted to do in that previous slide is to show you what folks have done with the pavement. I had an example of a work by Angela Two Stars, who is helping to create a piece, a little overlook on what was called Lake Calhoun on Bidet Makaska. And she had created these large pieces for big segments of pavement that were pressed into the surface. In addition, that's a technique that's being used throughout St. Paul, and what was created by Marcus Young, one of the city artists, in sidewalk poetry. So we can use text and image in wet concrete. I mean, that's one way we can create we can mark space and create place, and that's what we're doing here. We're thinking about Dale Street Bridge as a place. Now, I mean, it's been a pass through, and we've tried to get through it and across it as fast as we can. Now we want to be able to offer the opportunity to take time and to actually encourage people to get out and walk across this bridge. This is a piece that I did with Tukumba Aiken and a poet, Soyini Guyton, over 20 years ago on the Nicollet Mall. And it was just reinstalled in the Nicollet Mall. And so we created a set of shadows. And we're working right now on a set of shadows for the Walker Art Center Sculpture Garden that'll be installed in 2019. And with text and shadows, you're able at different points of time to be able to stand in the shadows of folks who came before. This is one of the poems that's on that particular shadow on the Nicollet Mall. You know, creating this piece that was all right on the surface. Oh. Okay. Yeah, and so railings, let's see if we can get to this one more time here. If we can't, I'm just going to blah, 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 and hopefully not. Oh, you know what I'm going to attempt to do is to go right to, if this doesn't advance, I'm going to go right to the video. Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do.
Don't start it yet.
Okay. You know, I've had a bunch of slides, but I'm going to jump straight to the video and then ask questions. And what this is a video of is a project in Columbus, Ohio, where these folks working with the Ohio Department of Transportation created this bridge with these wide sidewalks that connected the African American community with downtown. And this was an opportunity to create this cultural bridge.
It's been a couple of generations since the highway was built, and the highway served its purpose in moving traffic and people. But it separated neighbor from neighbor. The Long Street Bridge, the cultural wall, and the park on Long Street are built just so the neighbors can be together once again. Through this ODOT project, and especially this cultural wall, we are celebrating the history, culture, and rich tradition of these neighborhoods. This will be better than it ever was before.
Thinking about the rich cultural area that, you know, the King Lincoln area, we wanted this image to be, you know, black and white, or, you know, photographs or something that's black and white or gray.
We are proud to be making history here in King Lincoln Bronzeville neighborhood.
My vision was to highlight those people who made the community what it used to be, like the business people, the church people, musicians, entertainers.
Right now is the right time to where we can bring it all back together and become one neighborhood again. And it will bring the Discovery District and the King Lincoln District back together to celebrate this wall and begin to do business like we used to do.
I think that the two different types of medias will really work well together. You know, Coco's a photographer and I'm a printmaker.
We have known each other over 30 years. I met him as a student over at Columbus College of Art and Design.
The images that we chose come from a series that of photographs that I shot in the 1950s and 1960s, which was the history of my community. I really didn't know what I was going to do with it. I just like to shoot pictures.
This is Reverend Poindexter, very instrumental in helping a lot of the escaped slaves on the Underground Railroad. You know, one of the reasons why I actually created that whole series of African Americans was because I felt that, you know, a lot of these persons were being forgotten.
Well, we wanted to look at size and scope so that it would be eye-catching for anyone traveling, and it needs to have that scale.
I am so honored to have been able to be a part of something like this, because there's nothing else like this.
It's going to show the fabric of the community and how this neighborhood, all these great people that came before me, and in the future will be honored on this wall. And it will show the rich history and it will show that how this neighborhood was built on those people's shoulders.
What I like about the wall is that it's a mix of photography and woodcuts that showcases the new up-and-comers too. These people are making history today on both sides of the bridge.
And they call this the cultural wall, but this is the wall of hope. This is the wall of inspiration.
I hope people will embrace this wall as a destination to, like when their friends come to town, they will be proud of this wall and the history of our neighborhood. People from all walks of life are moving back into the community. And hopefully this wall will help generate more interest.
This is like a great experience for me because, you know, I came to Columbus College of Art and Design and came here as an undergrad and went to school here and actually lived in the area, worked in the area, had a studio in the area. You know, I've been associated with this area for quite a while, so this was kind of an honor, you know, for me to actually just kind of come back and actually give something back to it.
This is the highlight of all of our efforts.
Hello, this is Mayor Mike Cole. The Long Street Bridge is like no other in the entire state of Ohio. We built the bridge to reconnect the historic King-Lincoln District with downtown Columbus. We have a combination of art, green space, lanes for bicycles, wider sidewalks, and benches that will make it an experience you won't want to miss. The City of Columbus, along with our partners, ODOT and Warp City, have worked together to make this bridge a premier destination in our great city. Bring your families and your friends to come see it and to celebrate history in the remaking.
Well, thank you all. I mean, a couple more things I just want to say. One, and that I really should have said, we need to give Ramsey County, I generally wouldn't do this for an institution, but Ramsey County Public Works has come a long way in working with artists. This is a new experience for them as well. And so, I need to give a big shout out to them because this is just kind of the foot in the door. There are going to be other opportunities throughout the county, not just along 94, for other artwork to be integrated into the design. So that's one thing. The other thing I want to say is that we have a theme, and it's going to be on this design team to work within that theme and to use that theme to generate opportunities and to generate these ideas for this artwork. And as I said, we've got a lot riding on this. We really want to create something that this community is proud of, so that folks will walk by it, folks will stop on this. What you saw here, and you really didn't see the full scope of this piece. This was done as they were installing it. But some of you may have caught that these things were going on these panels that were backlit. So this is something that can be experienced at night as well. So that's another thing for us to think about, is all the different ways that folks can experience this. And then lastly, I was going to show you, I apologize for not going through this. I'm working right now on two other bridge projects, both in Minneapolis, both related to the freeway and the changes there. Some of the folks in this room have been a part of this process to create or to recreate the railings on the Olson Highway Bridge that crosses 94. And there we're using this technique, enameling on steel, the same techniques that Yijia was describing that Tacumba used for the Walker West Music Academy. If you get a chance, go down a few blocks on Selby and check that work out. That is this permanent process. It's this way of painting on steel and having it a part of it forever. All of that work will outlast us. I mean, archaeologists will dig this work up and wonder what we were doing and wonder what we were up to. And so that's one of the things. And so we're working right now on that bridge, and that will probably be installed in 2019 or 2020. You know, for all of these projects, you really have to think ahead. Now, I've worked on, there were a couple projects that I worked on for the city of Minneapolis that took literally 10 years to get on the street. And so you, there you quickly see how government works and how it doesn't work. And so saying that to say, this is going to be a long process. The team that is selected will look at these opportunities, look at these mediums, and come up with these ideas that can be rendered in metal, rendered in concrete, and possibly other materials. And looking at this entire space, we're creating this place now here. And I appreciate you all for coming, and we're gonna have fun in this process on top of everything else. So thank you all. We'll put it back to Peter.
Thanks, Andrew. I know Dale from MnDOT is going to come and give us a quick just sort of perspective from MnDOT on the bridge.
Oh, and I also have to thank the AV folks here at the church for hopping too and plugging this up here. I mean, we wouldn't have had any video at all.
I just wanted to extend my gratitude to Setu and to Aaron and Ramsey County for working with the Department of Transportation on this. I think it's going to be a great project at the end of the day. What I do want to point out is, you know, accepting public art into the MnDOT Trunk Highway right-of-way is something that the department is slowly being more acceptable to. We brought Melissa Schultz, who's our liaison regarding our public works projects and art and how those can mesh. The department has started to explore different venues and different ways to allow art to exist within our public spaces and what those mean. I want to go over some kind of, as a government agency, we have a bunch of rules, so I'll go over about four of them real quick here just so that you're all aware about them. But some of the things I do want to highlight real quick also are, if you look at some of the bridges that are out there today, I want to say there's a mural underneath the Hastings Bridge. That's an example of something that can be done by artists and the community when they work together. There's another one on the Edgerton Bridge just north of St. Paul, where if you actually look at the outside railing, there's a actual, like, mural that's in the concrete in the relief form.
I had a slide of that too.
And so there's an example not too far away from here that actually shows what can be done within concrete. Another example of a project where we'll be coming to view here shortly is on the High Bridge. What was done on those concrete railings was there was a little relief put into the railing, and what's going to be done is every single panel, and you know, panels were defined by a section, an artist will be able to apply and put together an art, in that panel as to whatever is approved by the city at that time. And so there's a lot of different ways. If you have a question about what can be done, ask it. That's what's intended. Engineers can only go so far with creativity. We're not the creative people. We're the ones that say, give me the pen, give me the paper, and I'll do the math. Artists are really the visionaries and the people that want to, put new ideas out there that need to be, displayed and cause people to think. To the rules. There's about four big ones that I kind of want to talk real quickly about. First and foremost, anything that goes on the bridge does need to be reviewed for a safety aspect of it. We can't have any sort of art, mural, anything that could fall down into the highway below, so it's going to be critical on what is going to be proposed, how that actually is integrated in a safe fashion. Second one is, it is a bridge. It is, evaluated from a structural capacity, so depending upon what art is being incorporated on it, so what mediums and what weights and everything, need to be evaluated by structural engineers to make sure that the bridge can handle it, or if the bridge needs to be designed to handle whatever is being proposed. So those are kind of the two big ones as it pertains to public safety. The next one is MnDOT's policy does require that the city adopt a resolution of support for whatever art is being put into that public space. That way that the city is okay with whatever is being messaged and that there's a cohesive voice saying that they've approved this message. Lastly, the kind of the big one for artists that have been dealing with MnDOT is the artist is asked to relinquish their intellectual property rights for the art within the public space. A lot of that is due to the fact that a short time ago, I believe one of the art projects over in Minneapolis, MnDOT got into a feud with the artist because the artist filed a lawsuit saying that they were the sole person that could actually update and maintain that art and that the MnDOT had to contract with them to perform that work. And so for MnDOT to be able to, either remove graffiti or to maintain public space in perpetuity, we do ask for an artist to relinquish those property rights.
Although we're challenging that right now as well too, going through the process with MnDOT to change that aspect of the policy.
Yeah, it's more of a legal issue than anything else. So it's the attorneys.
No, absolutely. but it means that, and this is been my point with the commissioner, is that artists are guaranteed their right to make these changes through the Visual Artists Rights Act. And so the last thing we want to do is to do anything that would deny another class of folks their rights under the Constitution.
And that, as Sachi points out, that's being disputed right now. I'm just saying the policy
right.
Is currently.
Yep. Is there a height restriction on bridges?
Between the roadway and the bottom of the bridge, yes, there's about a 16.6 vertical clearance that the department wants to see, and that's principally for freight movement underneath the bridge. But nothing really prohibits you above.
Not unless it hindered airlines.
Right.
So.
I'm on
the project
that
Sachi talked about with the paneling, the enamel paneling, and there were several restrictions in terms of colors that you could use in terms of a palette, because you didn't want, like, red was not an option because, you don't want someone to break it's a stop sign even though it's clearly not. Is that the same?
We're a little more open on that now. When we first started working on the Highway 55 bridge, we didn't have a public art policy. So it was kind of luck of the draw if you got a project manager that liked art or didn't like art. And then I was hired and said, no. We're going to allow arts and push through this policy, and we're still working through it too. We've had, I don't even know that we've had three go through the whole process, so bear with us as we make changes too, as we learn and grow on how, like this, there are rights issue that we still have to explore and figure out how do we maintain something but still give the artists their rights and all of that. So work with us on that too, because we're new at this as well. But no, we're a lot more open on the colors. It would be more like, you could do red, but you can't do red in the state shape of a stop sign.
Right.
You know, so it's a lot more open than it used to be. We don't limit the color palette like we did before.
Okay.
Yeah, and MnDOT really doesn't limit anything at this point, like they did then. Now we leave it up to the city's review process. We are just primarily focused on safety and helping you integrate it into the construction process.
Okay, question about, okay, the sidewalks that will be coming and redone, certainly hope so up to Iglehart because they're falling apart, but that's not on the bridge. But I'm just wondering if they're thinking about, if we think on this whole project, there's more sidewalks being built, we'd certainly be amenable and interested in what we do with sidewalks here. And we have property that's church property that we could make open to the community somehow and be part of the process. And it's not MnDOT's property, so, you know, I don't know.
I'll have to defer to the county on the county right away.
Yeah, so the sidewalk from Iglehart North to the university is being reconstructed to 6 feet wide. It's 5 feet now today. So, yeah, I think that's something that could be open for discussion if that place could be used.
Yeah, because I think we talked about the bridge all and
right.
There's this whole entryway
yep.
to the bridge of the two more blocks. And
yep.
Could be
is that indicating that you're going to take some of his property for the sidewalk?
No, the sidewalks is going to, except for those properties I mentioned for the wide road widening, the sidewalk widening will stay within the existing right-of-way.
I do know that one of the recent art proposals was actually downtown St. Paul, the Maharaj, if I remember that one right,
yeah.
Melissa.
Yep.
And what they did was they did that checker paneling on the walk, and so that's something that could also be done on sidewalks too. It doesn't have to be the checker paneling, but whatever murals or art wants to be put onto the walkways themselves.
Yeah, MnDOT will not restrict anyone as long as it's safe. That's
what about lights?
So oh, good, you got for something.
Yeah.
We need more lights down to here because our church is not lit up very much because there's no lights.
I'll have to fix that.
And we need some stop lights on the corner up here for people to get
across here. I'll have to refer to the lights on the county roads.
So sidewalk and lighting is the city. And as I mentioned, the sidewalk will be replaced. They are planning on pedestrian scale street lighting along the entire project. So that's part of the project as well.
What about a stoplight or something up here in the corner where people can get across the street to catch the bus and stuff?
Yeah, we have not explored additional traffic signals. It would be difficult for them to meet warrants, I think, but
almost get hit.
Mm-hmm.
One of my residents.
One of the things I do want to bring up is that through some community outreach over by, I believe it's Fairview, there was a light demonstration done underneath that bridge done by the community, I believe last year or 2 years ago. So light could be used as a medium. The other location that I'm aware that it's actually permanently installed is over on Trunk Highway 7 over in St. Louis Park,
right.
Underneath that bridge. There's
I was going to show slides of that
bridge.
Yeah, I mean,
that
might change the bridge, yeah.
And that one,
sure.
there's a I want to call it a light show that's used to portray a story, actually,
mm-hmm.
That the city installed underneath that bridge. So there's different ways, different mediums to look at when you're thinking about this too.
And we will, with lighting, with kind of art lighting or architectural lighting, that will have to go through federal highways as well because we're over I-94. So they might be a little bit more restrictive on, I'm guessing probably nothing color changing is usually something that's going to come from the federal highway.
Yeah, we do have static lighting that can change.
You could change it.
Bridge is an example of one where lighting's used to, highlight different, themes throughout the year. Those are very static. It's not a constantly changing, palette in that regard.
Yeah, like you could change it from pink to green in a day, but not revolving in a minute.
That's like that bridge on 35W to put in, ain't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That changes color, I noticed.
Yep.
So
these are fantastic questions. Do you guys mind if we, are you ready to move on to just talking about the proposal process? I just want to make sure we get time for that as well. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you, Dale. Say to you, I'll make sure I get the stuff from you so I can post it on our page on Springboard site so people can access those images that you were going to share for that. And then also I'm going to share a recording of this info session, just an audio recording, so that'll be on the website too for people that aren't able to make it tonight.
One more light? Are you?
No, it's okay. I'll show. So I'm going to use this in a little bit.
Okay.
So. Plus, it's like you know, I'd rather have like dim, chill lighting for all of us here. So does everybody have the RFQ here that was up at the front when you came in? You don't, there's still some copies up here. So just. You know, as part of this, I'm trying not to use a lot of jargon. So an RFQ stands for Request for Qualifications. So what this process is really doing is asking for artists to send us their qualifications for why they're going to be a great addition to this team that's going to work with Saytu and TKDA and everyone else to come up with what the opportunities are for the art on the bridge and then also what that art is. So, so some of these questions about sort of the specifics of what's going to be there will be answered by the artists that are actually part of that team of Saytu. So I think it's great information to have in your minds, but it's also not something you necessarily need to worry about when you're responding to this RFQ. So I just kind of want to go through this quickly, and I want to leave some room for questions as well, just about the process, and questions for any of other folks that are here from the county and from MnDOT as well at the end. So. The first couple pages are just some background about the project. Some of this you heard from folks tonight, but I would definitely recommend reading that and really sort of familiarizing yourself with some of the other background around the bridge. There's the DaleStreetBridge.com is the website that some university and other community organizations put together that just sort of details a lot of the process that went around the community bringing their input to this bridge. So I really want to pick up on the second page where it says project details, and just sort of talk a little bit about that. So, you know, one of the ideas that Saytu mentioned, which I think is super critical about this, is that it's really this idea of bringing artists into this process and this idea of making public art that maybe have not done that before and don't have previous experience with that. Saytu's the one that has this amazing experience that can really help artists adapt what they do as artists into this other medium of a bridge, which is totally rad, if you ask me. So it's a really cool opportunity, and it's really designed to bring new folks into that. So part of the team that's selected will then work with Saytu to, again, identify those places where public art will be, and then actually work with a community process to develop what those art pieces are. And then those will be submitted with the bid in the fall, as I understand it. And then that's how they'll know that those things will be incorporated into the construction of the project. So, you know, part of it is that, like, as artists, we're dealing with this sort of, like, geologic time thing where there's stuff that has to get submitted for the bid well before the bridge is actually constructed and before the art is a part of it. But we're sort of working under that timeline. So over the summer, the artists will be working with Saytu to come up with what those places are and what that art is. Then that leads us into the timeline here. So we're going to select artists at the end of May, and then they'll start with doing some mandatory cohort meetings with Saytu and TKDA, a bunch of meetings around that, doing some community engagement process planning, so really figuring out how the community is being engaged and figuring out what this art is. What it looks like. There's a lot of ways that that can work. And then in July, the artists will engage community in sort of helping to design those public art elements, and then kind of integrating community input, and then creating technical designs that will then go into that bridge bid that they'll be submitting at that point. So eligibility, so artists of any discipline who live, work, who have a demonstrable connection to the Rondo community or neighborhood, you know, artists may have experience creating public art, but we're asking that artists have received a large, you know, $25,000 commission for doing that, just as a way to bring sort of new artists that have not done those large projects into this work. Artists are definitely eligible whose work has not included permanent public art. So if you work in another medium, perhaps you're a poet, there's definitely an opportunity for you to be a part of this project in terms of, you know, that maybe the poetry gets stamped into the concrete of the sidewalks, or other ways that other art mediums can be adapted to this medium of a bridge. So we're not sort of being it's open to artists from any medium, really. And then artists must be able to meet in person in St. Paul over the duration of the project. And then there's a question, there's a sort of paragraph here about what is Rondo. So this is really just what we're talking about. We're saying artists that are from or connected or have a connection to the Rondo community. So this is just kind of the definition of what that is for this project. Selection criteria. So we're really just looking for some quality of the artist's past work as demonstrated in the materials submitted, indication that the artist is interested in engaging community and translating the artistic medium into visual art to be a part of the bridge. I'll talk more about this when we talk about sort of the narrative and what you're actually going to submit. Experience working collaboratively as part of a team, that's really going to be the process that is integral to doing this work, is working with the other artists and working with Saytu and working with the community to do this work. And then, of course, artists experience engaging community in their process. And we're also, we're open to artists that have engaged community, maybe not as part of their artistic process, but as part of some part of their life and their work. So we're open to those experiences as being part of the criteria as well. From the submitted responses to the RFQ, a panel of artists and representatives from the community will select 4 to 6 finalists, and then we'll do interviews with those finalists and select 1 to 3 artists that will actually then work as part of that team over the summer. So now I'm on page 5. So this is the application. So submissions are due May 7th by 11:59 p.m. One thing I'm just going to say right now, if you have questions that are coming up about your proposal, if you try to submit it and it doesn't work for some reason, try to do all that stuff early. So I'm definitely open to helping you if, you try to submit it, there's some problem with it, or if I get it and there's something that's missing, I will definitely contact you and let you know that. But just please don't wait until, 12:05 on May 8th to do that. So, if you have any questions, I always, and I'm an artist, I submit proposals, towards the end of when the deadline is, I understand that, but I encourage you to not do it, in the last 5 minutes. That's my plug for doing things in a timely fashion, and feeling free to get in touch with me if you have any questions or issues. So the process, I'm gonna kind of go over this relatively quickly, but and the next page is sort of the items that you actually need to submit. Contact information, narrative, work samples, et cetera. And we're gonna use an online form to do that, which you can link to through, you can either see it here or you can link to it through the page on Springboard's site. One thing with that form is that it won't save your work, so make sure that you do all of your work in Word or whatever sort of other process you want, and then just copy paste it into the form sort of all at once. One thing I noticed with this form is that if you kind of open it up in your browser, don't do anything with it for a while and then fill it out, it often will not work. So you kind of just need to open it up, paste all your stuff in there. I mean, you don't have to do it in 10 seconds or something, but sort of open the window, put your stuff in there, and then hit submit, and it will work. So just be aware of that. Just have all your stuff ready, and then you can submit at one time. And if you have any issues with that, let me know for sure. That's why I recommend doing it a little bit before the deadline. I'll be in touch with you if I have any questions about your submission. And then my email is here on this page as well. It's peter@springboardforthearts.org. And then I want to talk about this for a second.
Email doesn't work.
My email does not work.
I tried to push it. Can't get to you.
Huh. Okay. Well, let's talk afterwards. Thanks for letting me know. So application assistance, if you need assistance creating documents or preparing work samples to submit, Springboard has a resource center in our office in Lower Town. It's open from 9:30 to 5, Monday through Friday. We have the Adobe Creative Suite, so if you need to resize images or do anything like that, we also have Word, all the stuff that you need to actually prepare your response to this RFQ. Feel free to come in and use that. There's Andy Sturdivant runs that resource center along with Dennis Madamba, and they can help you. I recommend making an appointment or a reservation to go in and use that resource center beforehand, just so you can be sure that you can utilize the computer when you're there. But that's a great thing to tap into. They're also doing some pop-up resource centers. There's going to be one on May 2nd at the Asian Economic Development Association on University. So if you don't want to travel to Lower Town, just pop over to the other side of 94 and head over to Ada, and you can go to that one. They'll also have, for that pop-up resource center, they'll have a camera so they can do either headshots or if you need to photograph some work, they're also available to help with that there at the same time. So utilize those things, please. Let's see. So then I'm just going to kind of go over quickly the application questions. So this is on the back page, page 6. The first thing in the form is just to fill out your name, address, that sort of information, and then just explain your connection to the Rondo community in a couple of sentences. And you know, that can be I live in, or I grew up in, or you know, my grandmother grew up in, whatever that means for you. Narrative, maximum 6,000 characters. This is with spaces. And the box that you paste this into on the form will tell you how many characters you have, so you will know whether you're over the limit or not, but just be careful around that when you're doing it. And then when you do paste your narrative in there, I ask that you use the sort of numbers in the subject heading, so like put number one, artwork and approach, and then answer that question. It just makes it easier for the folks that are reviewing the proposals to sort of separate those different sections as they're reading. And I was going to say too, 6,000 characters with spaces is about 2 pages, just so you have a sense of how much is your maximum. You do not have to use all of that, but that's sort of the max that you have there. So artwork and approach, so describe your medium or your mediums and just kind of your approach to art making. Number two, experience creating public art. So either describe your previous experience creating public art if you've done some projects that are under that $25,000 sort of limit, or if this is your first time creating public art, why this particular opportunity appeals to you and how you're thinking you would translate your artistic practice into this medium. Medium being, you know, the bridge or sort of all these ways that you might potentially see public art happening on this bridge. And I should be clear too, it's not that you have to know that you're gonna put molded concrete into the parapets of the bridge, but more just, you know, what are the things about this opportunity that appeal to you in the way that you work as an artist? Number three, collaboration. So describe your experience working collaboratively and in teams. And so again, this is whether this is a part of your artistic practice or not. Just tell us what your experience is with that working collaboratively aspect. And then four, engaging community. So how has any of your previous artwork engaged community? And this could be from passive engagement of people viewing your work, or it could be active engagement, such as people directly co-creating the work, or maybe you do socially engaged work that's inviting people to participate in it, whatever that means for you in your artistic practice. And then we'll just ask about your availability for interviewing, and then also the first cohort meeting. A resume, so a max of 2 pages for that. That could be a PDF or a Word document that you upload. And then work samples, we're asking you to provide up to 8 work samples of your artistic practice. I'm not going to go through all the file specifications here. I'll say again, the Resource Center can help with this if this is something you haven't done before that you need help with. And just sort of note in here that there's different ways and sort of limits depending on, you know, if you're a poet, one page is one counts as one work sample. If you're a visual artist, you know, each image is one work sample, but it's sort of laid out here for you. And then just a work sample list that just answers these questions about the name, the title, and at least for the sort of artistic practice I have, I usually have to add some explanation of what this is showing. So if that's relevant for the work that you do, then add that in there as well. And that's something else that you can upload to the online. So, let's see, we have about 10 minutes left. Any questions about that? I went through that pretty quickly, but
I got
yes.
A question. How many artists are you really looking for? How many do you seek to have qualified for this thing? You keep talking about an art team. How many is going to be in this team you keep talking about?
Yeah, so 1 to 3 artists will be selected to be a part
of
the team.
All you need is 3 artists, is what you're talking about.
Yes.
Okay.
But what I'm also, sorry, if, so based on the invite that I received, 3 artists, but then it also says to work with other artists within the community? Or is it just specifically the 3 artists and they can decide what they want to do? Like, bring in other artists?
Yeah, I think that would be my understanding, that as part of that community engagement process, maybe there's other artists that you know in the community and you want to bring them into that process. But there's 1 to 3 artists that are sort of officially hired to be a part of the project team.
Okay.
So there won't be anything else for other people that don't qualify as 1 of the 3. There's nothing for them either. You're encouraging people to participate, but you're not using it many people.
No, we're not. Unfortunately, this is going to be a relatively small team. And actually, this is even bigger than most other design teams, using 3 or 4 artists on it. Generally, it's just 1 artist on a project. The possibility, though, is there are kind of endless possibilities. And the question that was asked earlier about working with other artists, that was to kind of leave this process open. So the artist, this artistic team, will decide not just the locations, but they may not even do the work. They may even ask that maybe go to commission somebody else as a part of the process, or to add on pieces as this thing goes on. So it'll be 1 to 3 folks on the team, in addition to myself, and then possibly bringing other folks in.
Yeah, and I think it's really good to just remember that this is a really iterative process, right? The whole idea is get the team together, figure out where the art can go, what are the possibilities, and then what is the process that actually makes that art. So
yeah, this is going to be different than many other prescribed processes. When they hire 1 artist to be a part of the design team that consists of architects, landscape architects, engineers, this will be a team of artists whose work will be translated to the engineering requirements for this piece to integrate that artwork into it.
And I would say, the only other answer I'd have for your concern about just that it's being 1 of 3 artists is that there are, there's this other opportunity coming up at the Rondo Library. It's also only going to be, 1, maybe 2 artists for that as well. I think that also these are opportunities that are for, folks that are connected to the Rondo community, which also is, anytime that you have a sort of geographic parameter on it, it also makes it so that your chances are better. It's not a grant like a McKnight Foundation Artist Fellowship where it's any single artist in the whole state. So there's, I applied for the Next Steps grant. 500 artists applied for that, and I think 30 of them get that. So that's the life of the artist to some extent, is that there's more artists than there are opportunities sometimes. So I wish that we could get everyone that came tonight. Okay, any other questions?
I have 1 more question.
Yeah.
So Seta, you've mentioned that you've worked on a project for 10 years for Minneapolis. What's the timeline and the anticipated end date of this project?
Well, Aaron can answer that. It's not going to be 10 years. This is not going to be. It's not, that was more like a sentence than anything else. This is not going to be like this.
Okay. So, we're constructing starting early 2019. So, basically, we have until the late fall of 18 this year. It's a very short, compressed timeline to figure out what can be built with this bridge, and this bridge is constructed. As it was said, is that whatever is decided to be incorporated into the physical bridge structure or the railing, that has to be translated into an engineering drawing specification that a contractor can construct. So there's lots of different pieces to this, so it kind of went off, but it's a year, but until the fall is really when we need this completed.
touch with me if you have specific questions about the proposal or your response. And thanks for coming, everyone. Good luck. Spread the word, please. We want, we definitely want artists from Rondo to fly to this. So thanks.
Yeah. Philip.